Hi, this is Nathan coming to you from behind the board. And today we have a very special encore presentation of Martha Norwalk's Animal World. From all of us in the Animal World family, we wish you all a happy weekend, and we look forward to being with you again on next week's live show from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
And welcome you to the third hour of our happy Memorial Day weekend celebration here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the fastest way to pull up the stream, go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And hey, it is a extra Sunday, fourth Sunday of a five-Sunday month, and we are spending it here with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Nathan is here with us still until he, I think we got another Sunday or two, Sunday with him before he wings off to the Philippines. And that's why I mentioned that to you, because I heard Merritt say cockfighting in the Philippines. So maybe we need a Detective Nathan down there to figure out what's going
on. Checking to see if there's any interruptions by Bigfooting. And no, there will be no. So you'll be seeing the on the 7th, and then I'll be taking off.
You're gone for a couple of weeks. All righty. So Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org. And man, we've been covering a lot of bases already, but we haven't gotten anything on the list of the stuff we were going to talk about today. And of course, let it out there. If there's any animal subject around the country, around the world you want to know about, we got like the encyclopedia of animals here in Merritt's head. He's been doing this since the 1980s. So what a background. And love to pick his brain. So you guys, did we cover what we needed to with, you know, the cockfighting and the pits and all that? I think we're good with that, so we can move on. Are we ready to find out what's going on down in the California area?
There's a gentleman named Shannon Miranda who's run something called Miranda's Rescue for many years in a little village called Miranda, California. It's actually a ghost town that used to be called Jameson's Flat in the Redwood country. Now, his name probably was not Miranda. He apparently changed his name at some point to match the name of the Miranda Post Office, which was opened in 1905. What he has been doing is running one of the largest quote-unquote pit bull rescues in the whole country for some years. People pay him to take their dog and find a home. The Oakland Animal Shelter, the animal shelter serving Berkeley, California, and many others have been paying him to take pit bulls and find homes, as have been private individuals. And he's built a good reputation for himself online and so forth. But a few weeks ago, a neighbor named Jennifer Raymond contacted us and claimed that he was shooting these dogs, burying them in a ditch on his property, most of them. And this is how he was able to take in so many.
Uh-oh.
Well, we gave her some advice on how to collect evidence that would stand up in court, that would be sufficient to get a search warrant, et cetera. We never heard back from her. But 2 weeks later, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department went in with a search warrant, found a mass dog grave, and although they have not actually brought charges yet, that charges are expected. Shannon Miranda has apparently received at least $510,000 from public agencies for taking in pit bulls that they didn't want to euthanize. He's apparently put a lot of the money into buying some high-end real estate in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And
so this guy was really a bad guy. He was really crooked. This was just a mass money-making operation for him, and he's killing these dogs and burying them in the backyard.
Well, Whoa. The other thing I want to mention, this is not the first, not even remotely close to the first time this has happened. Hmm. This is simply the biggest name this has happened with. We previously covered a case that involved around 600, mostly pit bulls, just outside of Chicago. There was such a case in Arkansas. They come to light fairly frequently. The first one that I remember was shortly after Hurricane Katrina, when the Best Friends Animal Society paid a quote-unquote pit bull rescuer to take 60 pit bulls for adoption in Pennsylvania. And they all turned out to have been dropped off and euthanized by various animal shelters along the way, where the guy, you know, he'd take a certain amount of money to take the pit bulls, and then he'd pay a much smaller amount to have them euthanized.
Wow.
This has been going on for a long time, but this time it's a big-name guy that has gotten caught. As mentioned, charges have not yet been filed, but are expected. As it happened, this was the fifth major sanctuary failure in California just this spring. Different things happening. Leo Grillo, who ran, still runs Delta Rescue since the 1970s, is facing criminal charges for kidnapping. There's a dispute he had, outcome of a dispute he had with one of his former employees. He will go to trial, and we'll find out what the bottom line on that is. He had made his name rescuing animals, including at least 900 abandoned pit bulls over the years, from the Angeles National Forest that's east of Los Angeles. Shortly after that, a fellow ran something called the Duck Sanctuary that seemed to be having constantly changing locations, got busted, and a large number of ducks confiscated. It turned out the animal control agency involved turned at least half of them over to a company that was then selling them for meat. So that's an ongoing scandal.
Wow.
There was also a place, this was actually pretty near to Leo Grillo's Delta Rescue, just across the freeway. A place called Rockin' Paws was raided for neglect. More than 300 animals were pulled out of that, mostly dogs, some cats. And then there was a very large sanctuary, mostly for horses and cats, that recently failed in Julian, California. And more than 600 animals so far have been taken out of there. I think it's about 450 cats. About 70 were farm animals that were transported to the Humane Farming Association shelter, or sanctuary, I should say, near Elk Creek, California. Ironically, it's a very remote location in the same mountains, although about 80 miles as the crow flies, from this guy, Shannon Miranda.
Huh.
So just a whole lot going on with sanctuaries. One very legitimate, very well-respected sanctuary called Sawana Ranch, run by the Humane Farming Association. And it's helping to clean up the mess from the other five, all of which had big names, but were not financially stable and probably not mentally stable either, if the truth were known.
Wow, that's amazing. All of these places in California, you got to wonder, but you mentioned in telling us different places around the country, but man, there's got to be a lot of abuse and a lot of yucky stuff going on in sanctuaries and rescues around this country that we don't know about.
Well, here's what I want to point out. The idea that you can save them all is only true if you can reduce the population, which is done through spay-neuter in the case of dogs and cats. It's done through simply not breeding them in the case of horses and pot-bellied pigs and goats, all the rest of these animals that are being found neglected, abused, and sometimes secretly shot in ditches. Just not breeding them. You can't save them all as long as you're creating an ever-increasing supply.
Yeah.
A longtime friend of mine, Doug Fakima, who also went to San Jose State University years ago, later became known as the expert on humane euthanasia, came from a family well known here on Whidbey Island. Doug Fakima, some years ago, wrote about how a bunch of stressed out people kept rescuing babies that were washing downstream in a flood. And one guy finally left the baby rescue operation. He took off running upstream. And they're asking, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to find out where all these babies are coming from. Well, that's what we've got to do. We've got to find out where all the babies are coming from, and we've got to stop the breeding. Whether we're talking about breeding tiger cubs for petting at so-called petting zoos, then get cast off and end up eating somebody or being shot for trophies at a can hunt. Or we're just talking about dogs and cats in our own homes and backyards. You got to stop the breeding, because otherwise the notion that you can save them all leads to situations like the one involving Miranda's Rescue and Delta Rescue. And
there are very, very few regulations. And in this atmosphere of saving all of the animals, it's created a situation where this is happening. There's a lot of people usually start out good-hearted, and it quickly becomes out of control because they need the system needs to place animals when they start crowding the shelters. They have to go somewhere. It becomes a shell game. Okay, we'll move these dogs and these poor pit bulls, that they are the majority of what's in the shelters. They'll move them somewhere else, hoping maybe one or two might get adopted that way, rather than just languishing in the shelters. So the reason why these horrible sanctuaries are happening and hoarding situations is because of that. Their spay neuter is no longer the important thing to do for controlling population.
It's not the funding priority for outfits like Best Friends and Mandy's Fund and the ASPCA. They're putting their money into adoption promotion primarily. And the other day we saw Mandy's Fund was sending out a media release how they're going to fund fixing 5,000 animals. Well, there's individual veterinarians like Jeff Young in Colorado that fix 5,000 animals himself per year.
I know, that's my Dr. Jeff. Absolutely the best vet on the planet. We need a Dr. Jeff in every state of this country. I just adore him.
He's our friend.
He's been a good friend for many, many years.
Really? Can you get him on the show for me? I'd love to talk to him on the show.
We have drunk a lot of beer together, I'll tell you.
I almost said it this morning because I actually saw two shows last night that I haven't seen before of Dr. Jeff, because they do Dr., you know, Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet marathons on Animal Planet on Saturdays.
They even wrote about us.
Yep, there's a new biography.
They've got a book. What is the book you're holding up?
It's called Beyond the Boundaries, The Life and Times of Dr. Jeff, the Rocky Mountain Vet, by a lady named Marinda Grohall. There's a picture of Dr. Jeff and one of his dogs on the cover.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, he practices state-of-the-art veterinary medicine, in my opinion. Now, I think true state-of-the-art veterinary medicine now has gone way off the deep end because they're trying to turn veterinary medicine into human medicine. Do everything the same way in terms of the sterility and all that sort of stuff, which isn't necessary when you're dealing with animals. Dr. Jeff does it all. He's got all the bells and whistles in his practice and everything, but they don't waste time on stuff that isn't necessary. And they charge for stuff what we used to charge back in the 60s. You know, he is reasonable in what he's priced and is a classic example of someone living a total life of service.
Right.
I mean, he is incredible how he serves, not only in the practice he maintains, keeping prices low, realizing how much help animals are to humans. He does his role there, but he's a great teacher. He loves to teach. He teaches young veterinarians how to do all this stuff. And then, you know, so much of what they do is go to shelters, rescues, places, do the spays and neuters, do the vaccines, and they don't charge anything for it. And one of the shows last night down in Mexico, he goes to other countries and educates vets there and does the same services there. And my gosh, he is just a classic example. No, I'm not surprised that you guys know him. But boy, he's on my top of my list of I'd love to do a show with him.
In fact, I've been with before he was famous, before he was well known as Dr. Jeff. I've been right there when he did workshops in Turkey and India and Eastern Europe. And he brings in the local veterinarians and he looks around at what they have to work with. And then he figures out how they can take that sometimes dilapidated old, sometimes homemade equipment and make it better so that it works better. He built his own gas anesthesia machine to start out, so he knows how to do that.
You know what Divine Mother's saying? We're going to do is via you that we could get Dr. Jeff on and we do a Zoom show with me and you two and Dr. Jeff. Nathan, too, of course. But how cool would that be? A whole show with Dr. Jeff with you two that know him so well and know all of this. God, I think that would be so much fun.
He's been in the process of building a teaching facility where veterinarians from all over the world can come and learn these things. So that's.
And that was mentioned, and I've heard that mentioned before. Now, the other thing I'm concerned about, because I have found him recently on Facebook, And there's been talk about that his cancer came back again, and there's stuff going on. Do you know, is he okay? And are you regular touch with him?
He's already beaten cancer a couple times.
Right.
Sooner or later, it'll get him, but he's got the heart of a lion and then some. And he's a very strong person. So he'll keep on going as active as he can for as long as he can. He's already doing regular podcasts with a gentleman named Andrew Duffer. And guests, including Esther Meckler and Ruth Steinberger, who are two of the grand old ladies of spay neuter in Oklahoma and Maine, respectively. So there's certainly, we'll try to put that together. There's certainly opportunity for you to maybe share broadcast snippets with what Jeff and Andrew Duffer have done. So we'll get on it as soon as we're done.
No big rush, and we could, you know, we'll wait for another fourth Sunday, or we can, you know, schedule something specific. Gosh, I would just love to do more with him. One of my people I respect more than anyone on this planet. I just adore him and worship the ground he walks on. I would love an opportunity to tell him that. And hear from him, and maybe inspire some veterinarians, because boy, it just isn't any better way to live your life here on this planet and serve than him and what he's doing. Gosh, and you've known him how long?
Since 1993.
Wow.
I was standing in the back of the hall at one of Esther Meckler's Spay USA conferences. And Jeff walked in with his girlfriend at the time, and it was almost all women there. We were two of the guys, and we're both pretty big guys. And so we were talking with each other, and I was sort of standing out in the crowd and joking about that. And so we had lunch together, and I've known him ever since.
Wow. What a small world here, and just not surprised about that connection. I mean, great, great people, and those majorly connected in service, because you two do an incredible life of service as well. I mean, that's all you do, is you're serving the animals and getting this word out. And of course, you're connected with Nels.
Jeff very much respects Merritt, very much. He thinks a lot of Merritt. Me too, but mostly me.
Yeah. But I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all that you guys are friends. But, you know, anyway, I would love to arrange something. Like I said, I truly don't have enough good things to say about the work that he does. In fact, I've even considered, and I've tried to get a hold of him, you know, and through that, but I could never find a connection. Well, ask and ye shall receive. How cool is this?
Carol Baskin's our friend, too.
How about Jackson Galaxy? You know him?
No.
Met him, but don't really know him.
Yeah, me too. And I would love to anyway. But he's another one that I think is fabulous, but not as fabulous as Dr. Jeff. Well, I like Dr. Pohl too, but he's an old school guy. But Dr. Jeff, my goodness.
Like Dr. Pohl.
Yeah. There isn't anybody more I think I'd like to have on the show than Dr. Jeff. Well, you know, and you guys, you hear me. I'm always talking about him every week about animal TV and how great he is. So. I'm looking at the time, and I guess because we were talking about Dr. Jeff, we didn't get stomped on, but we better take care of advertisers to keep Nathan happy. We'll get back to our list, find out if we're done with California. I think we got some fires and stuff going on down there, so we'll find out, is there anything with fire related that we need to know about? Otherwise, we'll get going on our list here. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Nathan coming to you from behind the board, and today we have a very special encore presentation of Martha Norwalk's Animal World. From all of us in the Animal World family, we wish you all a happy weekend, and we look forward to being with you again on next week's live show from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the last hour of our Memorial Day weekend edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard about NuPro supplements, and you know it. NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Make sure that you check them out. And you get most of the dog stuff at your local pet store. But if not, you can purchase online at NuProSupplements.com or Amazon. Prices are all the same. And if you do something great for animals or the planet in general, humans, we'd love to have you join our Animal World family of advertisers. You can shoot me an email at animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And I forgot to tell you last hour, remember Linda Rasmussen, our best and energy codes practitioner, continues to offer a free session for any of you that call or text her. The number I'll give you, and she can work with you in person at the Old Rainier Brewery or remotely. And even if you've worked with her on the air, that doesn't count. So any new baby people, she will give a free session to. So jot down this number, 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. There you go. All righty. We are in the middle of wonderful discussions here with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. And oh my gosh, I am just blown away because we just found out that they're good friends since the 90s with one of my idols that I absolutely worship. And that's Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. Oh, it's going to make me cry. I'm so happy that we have this connection. Anyway, and I'll tell you what, you know what I think one of the things I most respect about him? I think he is the best veterinary orthopedic surgeon I have ever seen. He is so good at orthopedic surgery and the stuff he's able to do. And I have worked with some of the best orthopedic surgeons out here. I helped the first one in our area open his practice. And then another really hotshot from the country came in. But so I have a lot of experience with orthopedic surgery and in veterinary medicine and stuff. And he is phenomenal. Anyway, I guess we can continue. How fun is that? I mean, I've just got Dr. Jeff on the brain now. So I'd mentioned before we went to the break, because we were talking about California, and even Nathan mentioned it. I think there are fires going on. Aren't there? Is there anything going on in that department that we need to know about? Because Nathan, you brought it up. What were you wondering
I was referring
about?
More to the chemical tank that is currently in excessive heat or something like that and is like leaking with a chance of that it could potentially, you know, they're saying it might explode. So they've, you know, ordered some evacuations and it's a population, like 50,000 people. And I was wondering if there were any like animal shelters in that impacted area that or zoos or anything like that that you might be aware of.
I'm aware of the situation, but I'm not aware of it affecting any animal institutions, possibly.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Human population of about 50,000, you probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 household pets that are also having to be evacuated. That's about all I could tell you.
Yeah, because that is pretty recent news within the last, you know, day or 24 hours. And I haven't seen anything posted on your website yet regarding that.
All right. Now, the next thing on your list, this is interesting because I think it might sort of relate to what we were talking about before when you were talking about federal housing and emotional support animals and some of the side effects of that. Second thing says, safety from dog attacks is basic human right from by the Indiana Supreme Court ruling.
Indiana, nation of India.
India Supreme Court. Yeah, okay.
The India Supreme Court has just issued on the 19th its third ruling in less than a year's time, each one following on the last, involving implementation of the what's called the Animal Birth Control Program rules. India has a national animal birth control program. It's had it since 2003. And it, basically what it is, it's subsidized spay-neuter of street dogs. And
yeah, that's what Eileen and Help Animals India, they do a lot of work in that area.
Exactly.
The animals are neutered and then returned to where they come from. So
yeah,
far,
so we heard, you know, we know about that story and the stuff and that the Supreme Court said, you know, all the street dogs need to be put in shelters and all that stuff, which was totally ridiculous.
That's not really what they said either. It's okay. White represented. What they said is that you are not allowed to feed congregations of street dogs in schools, at railway stations, and at bus stops, which are places where large numbers of people gather and large numbers of dogs gather. And when you're feeding these locations, you get pack attacks, which are ridiculously frequent. India, we were talking earlier in this program about the pace of fatal dog attacks here.
Yeah.
Right now is on a pace to have 3,000 non-rabid fatal dog attacks this year.
In India?
In India.
Oh,
and
excuse me, but
that's a lot of people.
3,000.
They're on a pace for 3,000.
Unrelated to rabies.
Right.
And dog-related deaths in India. Right. Is that from dog attacks? Has got
dog attacks, primarily pack attacks.
Holy moly! I mean, that's a huge statistic.
The victims are primarily small children and elderly people, mostly of the lower castes, because they have less protection from dogs in the form of walls around their property and so on and so forth. More of the dog population of their neighborhoods are on the streets. So, and one of the primary contributors to this is packs forming where either butchers discard meat scraps that attracts dogs, or there's a refuse heap, or there are individuals who think they're doing a good deed, go out and they feed the dogs, but they don't take any further responsibility for the dogs. So the dogs hang around there waiting for the feeder to show up.
And breed.
And anybody who comes by with a bag looks to the dog like food. So the dogs mob this person. Yeah, maybe the person falls down. Maybe the person panics and runs. If we're talking about a small child, a pack attack follows and you have a fatality. So this is what the India Supreme Court is responding to. And each ruling becomes a little more refined and pointed than previously as the judges gain a better understanding of the issue. What the current order does, besides affirming that safety from a dog attack is a basic human right under the Indian Constitution, it is also cracking down on the local governments who have not been holding up their end as regards the animal birth control program. The Supreme Court has ordered them now to get their programs up and running with adequate personnel, adequate facilities, and quit effing around doing everything else, finding excuses not.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be having official feeding places where they'll feed the dogs, but not, there won't be schools and places where it's inappropriate. to attract them, which would, you know, organization and getting a better program going is really good. But, you know, I mean, we've been talking to Eileen about this problem for, you know, a long, long time. And for a while, they didn't even know how to spay cats. They had to teach the vets how to do that. And they, you know, getting the ABC program and neutering, it was just a pain. But, you know, boy, I think they're really stepping up there. But are they doing what they need to be doing there, Merritt, or not?
Well, it's being ramped up as it should have been ramped up a long time ago. But it started out with great enthusiasm. This is when Manika Gandhi was the minister in charge of animal welfare. At this point, we're talking 23 years ago. And as her party fell out of favor, as she personally fell out of favor, the program fell out of favor and got less funding, less supervision, and encountered more resistance, including from Manika herself, who was very suspicious of gas anesthesia. Big mistake on her part, because that's the way to fix more animals faster, use gas anesthesia instead of the injectables. Jeff Young went over there along with a vet from Britain, Ray Butcher, and they personally taught and trained a lot of veterinarians to do the high volume, low cost
study. Of course. But of then course, what Dr. Chef. Yay.
Well, then what happened is many organizations in the U.S. who are desperate for shelter veterinarians hired away a lot of the best veterinarians in India, the best spay neuter vets. So, for example, the Pennsylvania SPCA at one point had 5 spay neuter vets hired away from the Indian ABC program. It's a brain drain. Same thing you get in various technological fields.
And Eileen has done an amazing job for years of empowering communities there to spay neuter their animals and take care of the animals there. She's had a huge impact. I doubt she said that, but she's had a huge impact.
That is definitely true enough. Now, the biggest problem there is uneven implementation, because you have many large cities with strong humane organizations and good programs. I've seen it personally in places like Bangalore and Mumbai and Chennai and Delhi. But you also have a large portion of the population out in the hinterlands. And just like out in the hinterlands here, there's a paucity of effective services. You can drive 100 miles in India. It's like driving 100 miles back in time.
Street dogs have always been a very important part in India. It's part of, they feel that it's part of their culture. They love the dogs, at least most of them do. But you know what? The same thing's starting to happen here. We're having a lot of street dogs roaming, and it's causing problems, pack attacks and things like that.
You especially see it on Native American reservations. Dogs have historically been well treated by Native Americans. But what's happening is a lot of us honkies, unfortunately, are taking unwanted dogs out and dumping them on the reservations. Thinking, well, I'll treat the dogs well. They won't kill the dogs. And so what was a fairly docile population of traditional Native American dogs is now thoroughly intermingled with pit bulls and whatever else highly reactive, large, dangerous dogs that people are going to take out and dump on the reservation. And we see that. A reservation resident, we found our stats, is 80 times more likely to be killed by a dog as somebody living in the rest of the country. And the same thing is true in Canada, I would mention. Canada has the same problem with people dumping dogs on the reservations rather than taking them to shelters for fear that they may be killed or siphoned off to somebody like Shannon Miranda.
Wow. I think the number of dogs euthanized in shelters in this country, I would think that number's going down, at least in our area here.
Drastically. And this is something that I've tracked for many years. In 1970, the United States was killing 23 million dogs and cats per year in shelters. That number has come down to around 2 million. It's leveled off around 2 million in the last few years.
Yeah, because, you know, I know here with, like, you know, Everett Animal Shelter is our, you know, municipal shelter in the area. But and it used to be that they were known as a kill shelter. And, you know, yeah, if you took your animal there or something, it may not, you know, find a home. But nowadays, there's so many private rescues around the area that they take the excess away from Everett Animal Shelter, so they don't refer to themselves as a kill shelter anymore. And, you know, they are not euthanizing animals unless there's, you know, a really good reason for it. At least that's my understanding. And I think it's smaller shelters that have helped. But then on the other side of that is what we talked about earlier, like in California and all these rescues that take advantage of there being a need here, and they do it to line their own pockets and get paid to take animals and then kill them. I mean, I think we, and what I was going to say I didn't mention then is, folks, if you're dealing with rescues, even if it's in our area or anywhere else, and you're adopting animals, pay attention. Go there. See what it's like. What's going on there? Because we need to be paying more attention, I think, because there's a lot of shenanigans going on that we can should help curb.
The big drop in the shelter euthanasia has had nothing to do with adoptions. And this is what people don't understand. It had to do with a drastic decrease in admissions of puppies and kittens that were dumped off. But covering this field, around 90% of the animals coming into animal shelters were unwanted litters of puppies and kittens, and they had a 90% euthanasia rate.
Okay.
Reduced the intake by so much that the shelter intakes fell by around 75%. But something a lot of people don't realize is that the total number of adoptions has been basically flatlined since 1981, when the first survey of adoptions was done by a guy named Richard Nasser. We're still adopting out around 4 million dogs and cats per year, the same as we were back in the 1980s when there was a big supply of puppies and kittens. All the extra money that's being spent to promote adoptions is really just treading water. Where the real gain needs to be made, as it was made in the past, is spay-neuter. Only now, instead of the problem being the constant influx of puppies and kittens, the problem is the constant influx of especially adult pit bulls, who they're cute when they're small, but they become dangerous when they get big.
Actually, Dr. Jeff Young wrote an article for Animals 24/7, which details what exactly no kill means. There's an expression now: no kill is slow kill. So if anybody's interested in learning about that, being a no kill shelter does not mean, is not necessarily and probably not a good thing. Anyway, Jeff Young wrote.
I'm just thinking, you know, what a wake up call here. I don't care what it is about animals. It's just, it involves an opinion and all of this sort of stuff. I got to run it past you guys first because you know more than anybody else.
Dr.
Shoot.
Jeff wrote a fantastic and very successful article about no-kill, and I would encourage everybody to go to our website.
We're going to take a time out here because we're late on taking care of our advertisers, and Merritt needs a chance to clear his throat. He's got my voice problems from the last time. So anyway, let's take a little break. You can get a drink of water, and we will continue our discussion with Merritt and Beth Clifton, animals24-7.org, straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you. Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. But we're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And tell you, we were reminded of Natasha Venter, our communicator and psychic gal. You can catch her on her weekly podcast at 4 p.m. on her YouTube channel, Natasha Venter IC. Her website is intuitiveclarifications.com. And if you'd like a private reading, you can call her or go through her website. And the number to call is 360-770-7486. Alrighty then, we are back with Merritt and Beth Clifton and animals24-7.org. And we're on the downside here, but anything else you wanted to talk about before we change subjects?
Well, kind of a turn from anything we've been talking about so far. One of our recent obituaries was of Desmond Morris, who wrote a book called The Naked Ape.
Yes.
Back in the early 70s, and really was one of the spark plugs to the animal rights movement, especially as regards the use of chimpanzees and other non-human primates in biomedical research. Before Desmond Morris, the major anti-vivisection message was that God created animals and God created humans, and we're so different that the research can't be extrapolated from animals to humans. And unfortunately, we are so similar to animals that a great deal of research was successfully extrapolated from animals to humans. Well, Desmond Morris turned that around and said, we are so similar to the great apes that we're cousins, and they are so much like us that they deserve a comparable moral consideration. Now, he said this a few years before DNA research began to prove the point. He had a lot of theories about the human-ape relationship and about evolution and so forth, some of which have panned out. Archaeology and paleontology and so forth has established that he was very right about a lot of things. Genetic research has established that he was very right about a lot of things. He was also kind of off the wall on other things, but he didn't have the advantage of all the empirical scientific knowledge on a lot of these subjects that we have now, 60-some years later. So I just wanted to mention Desmond Morris and
honor the work that he did. Yeah.
Given he was out there before Peter Singer wrote Animal Liberation, before the animal rights movement as we know it today. And he never really paid very much attention to the animal rights movement as it was growing. But he was one of the people who really threw down the match and sparked it all off.
Wow. Well, thank you, Desmond. My goodness. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but just a couple of things to turn on. Touch base, I thought here. A little disturbed here. I don't even like to mention his name on the show. I don't, but it sounds like Trump is messing up the animal stuff too. So what's with this FDA commissioner, Macri?
Marty Macri, who is the commissioner of the FDA, had come out in favor of greatly reducing animal testing and had in fact done a lot of things to reduce the use of beagles and non-human primates, dogs and cats. I'm still having the allergy attack in biomedical research, but he had also clashed with Trump over a number of things. So he was forced out this last week. Rumors were flying for about a week before he was forced out. And his departure means that of the several people who Trump appointed to high places who sort of incidentally have reputations as animal advocates, they're all gone now. None of them lasted more than a year and a half as members of Trump's cabinet.
Okay, speaking of that, then we apparently, I heard rumors of this, you've mentioned it, the possibility of horse slaughter resuming in the States. And I'm assuming that would be, you know, the wild horses.
Right. Something that is actually favored by some well-placed people in the Trump administration, including Doug Burgum, who is the man in charge of the Interior Department. He is also in favor and has actually already issued orders for the National Park Service to expand hunting opportunities and to deregulate hunting as much as possible so that the 4.2% of the American public who hunt can enjoy privileges in the national parks that the rest of us don't. Burgum is also bringing back the M44 cyanide guns for coyote control. These are spring-loaded canisters. They're supposed to shoot the poison into a coyote's mouth when it investigates the trap. They also killed domestic dogs. They very nearly killed a child in Oregon several years ago before they were temporarily withdrawn from use.
Wow.
That's all bad news. You like to end on some good news.
Yeah, we got anything good we can talk about?
I already mentioned the conviction of...
This is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but one of the notes here on the email is only... two babies killed by pit bulls in the first half of May 2026.
Well, it's horrible. That sound was actually an improvement over the preceding month, but unfortunately, it then got worse, as we already discussed in the last week. We got to talk about something that's good news besides dog attacks. Beth is usually our Pollyanna sunshine here.
Well, I think the biggest good news this week is that you guys are friends with Dr. Jeff. That is outstandingly good news, because you can confirm that he is as good a guy as I believe he is, and it sounds like my reverence for him is well-deserved, and you know for many, many years, and we may even end up having an Animal World connection with Dr. Jeff. I can just see us having a round table and having a great time and maybe doing it more than once.
And I just pulled up the calendar to check on the next five Sunday month, and that is going to be August. So should we start marking our calendars for August 23rd is the big question right now.
Well, yeah, so no rush, but we'll see what happens when they put out some feelers to our Dr. Jeff. But anyway, if he wants to, talk to us and share his wealth of experience and expertise and all the great things and a great example for vets. I think he ought to be franchising or doing Planned Parenthood hospital in every state of this country. I mean, what he's doing in veterinary medicine is so needed everywhere.
He did go to a second hospital in the Czech Republic who was more or less franchising his operation to teach and train his techniques in Eastern Europe. He started with a retired Czech soldier. I visited that clinic at one point. Wow. I think he turned it over to local management after several years of showing them how.
I emailed you the article that he wrote for Animals 24/7.
Oh, fabulous. Great. I'll read after the show. Anyway, we are out of time. So I just want to thank you for spending part of your Memorial Day weekend here with us, Merritt and Beth. And you're just such a wealth of information. I'm so looking forward to our next conversation. Next week, folks, Encore presentation. Tune in to hear our last energy balancing show with Linda Rasmussen. And then we will be back with Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday, the first Sunday of June. I'm going to talk to Merritt and Beth about it after the show because they don't know, but I hope we're going to get a little extra time with them on that Sunday. So we'll continue all these discussions and get to the things we didn't get to. Enjoy the rest of today. The weather's supposed to stay okay until it starts to change this evening. Rain, watch out, big rain tomorrow, it says, and then it lightens up again. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Merritt and Beth, thank you. Nathan, thank you. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.